In our readings today, we are presented with examples of those who lived a faith-filled life. We see first Abraham, also known as Abram, originally Abram, then became Abraham, the father of the Israelite nations. He not only believed that God would give him his son Isaac, he would give him a son when he knew that they were at the age, he and his wife Sarah, were at the age where they could not bear a child. And yet he trusted that God's promise that he would be the father of a great nation would come true, and that would be from his descendant, not from his steward, someone basically being adopted as his heir. He trusted in that. And it came true. He had a child when they were at an advanced age, as the scripture says, beyond childbearing age. And then he trusted too that if whatever God asks of him, he would do, including up to sacrificing his own son, sacrificing Isaac. Now, of course, that was a prefiguring, a foreshadowing of what our Lord himself would do, that God himself would sacrifice his son. But Abraham knew that God could make miracles happen, and if it was God's will, he would do it. He trusted in God. And of course, Isaac did become the first in a great nation of the people of Israel. Abraham did become the father, and not only of Israel, but of all who believe in our Lord, of all Christians. He is our spiritual father, the one they call the patriarchs. So we see Abraham as an example. And then, of course, we have what the feast that we're celebrating today, the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We have this, the Holy Family, who is very much the example of living a faithful life and trusting in God. And they show us the example of what it looks like for our families to live a faith-filled life, to live a life where the faith is important. The faith develops us and nurtures us and helps us to be better people and a better families. Now, the Holy Family, admittedly, is quite the high bar to clear. You know, it's probably not possible for any of our families to meet the examples of the Holy Family. I mean, after all, of course, you've got our Lord himself, second person of the Trinity, you know, truly God taking on human flesh. You've got Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, the one who was freed from original sin, who was able to say, you know, let it be done according to your will to God. Saint Joseph himself, who, you know, was probably the more relatable of the bunch, relatable of the family. But even him, he had the angels appear to him in dreams to guide him in his life. So that's kind of a high bar for us to try to cross. But that doesn't mean, though, that the Holy Family is not an example for us, because they are. We may not be able to follow them perfectly, but we can still follow them. And the most important aspect that we can follow them in is in their practice of their faith in God, their trust in God. We know they lived their faith. Again, one of them was God himself. Our Lord Jesus was God himself. They lived that faith, that Jewish faith that they professed. And they practiced it in their daily lives. Every day was marked by the practice of their faith, whether it is through prayer in their home, through, you know, synagogue and temple worship. They lived their faith. It was a priority for them, and it wasn't just something that was added on to their lives, but it was something that they lived as a priority. I mean, one example of this is, you know, we hear several times in the scriptures how the Holy Family, and then later Jesus himself, traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Now, the country of Israel, the modern-day country of Israel, is much the same borders as at our Lord's time. And that's a small country. The state of Montana is much bigger than the country of Israel. But to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem is about 100 miles each way. And of course, they didn't have the modern conveniences of a car that can do that 100 miles in a couple of hours. If you go to Israel today, it takes a couple hours to get from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And of course, you're in the comfort of a car or a coach bus or something like that. For travelers making that journey, if they were well off, they would have had a horse. If they weren't as well off, maybe a donkey. A lot of them had their own 2 feet. So imagine that, traveling 100 miles each way to go to the temple worship. And so when we hear in the gospel that they went to the temple, presented our Lord, and then went back to Nazareth, that between the presentation of our Lord and going back to Nazareth was a 100-mile journey. And these were not easy journeys. Barring the physical aspect of it, they were dangerous journeys. You're out in the middle of nowhere. And it wasn't unheard of for travelers to be waylaid by the side of the road by robbers. You know, there's a whole parable about that, the Good Samaritan. Our Lord told that parable because that happened to people who would travel these journeys. And yet their faith was so important to them, the Holy Family, that they made that journey on a regular basis. We know of a couple of times in the scriptures, but it's not unlikely they did more often than that. Again, we don't know for sure, but it's not unlikely. We can also be sure that the Holy Family would pray together on a daily basis. You know, much like Catholicism, that's where, you know, as Catholics, we kind of inherited this from Judaism. There were prayers that observant Jews would pray throughout the day. Some of them were the Psalms. That's what the Psalms were. They are prayers. They're songs of praise, they're prayers that Jewish believers would follow. They had morning offerings, they had evening prayers, night prayers. They had prayers before and after meals. You know the Holy Family would have done those every day. It was an important part of their lives. It was so important that it even carried over into our Lord's ministry. How many times when our Lord is getting ready to make a major decision, such as who are going to be his apostles? And of course, will he go through with the passion? He went to the garden to pray so that he could have the strength to undergo the passion. Prayer was an important part of their lives. This is the example that we can live in our families, that our faith become vital to our lives, that we live the faith. And this is more than just mass attendance, as important as this is, saying the prayer before meals, as important as that is. Our faith should influence every moment of our lives, and we should put it as a priority. The Second Vatican Council, in its document Lumen Gentium, tries to show how important this is, that our faith influence our families, that it actually calls the family the domestic church. The domestic church. It uses that language of a church. You know, we are a parish church. We have a diocesan church. We are part of a diocesan church. Well, the smallest level of the church is the family. And this Lumen Gentium, this document, encourages parents by their word and example to be the first preachers of the faith to their children. The first preachers of the faith. Not the priests aren't the first preachers, The bishop isn't the first preachers. The religious ed instructor isn't the first preachers. Parents are. The family is where children should learn their faith first and foremost. And the greatest example you parents can give your children is to live your faith and be open about living your faith. Don't hide the faith. Don't dismiss it. Don't think it. Your kids know when you put your faith behind other things. They recognize it. They know. Parents need to be willing to teach their children in the faith. And if you look at the document, nowhere will you say this clause expires when they turn 18. Parents, grandparents, you still have that obligation to teach the faith to your children, to your grandchildren. And this is, I would argue, more pressing today than any time in recent history. Because, let's be honest, first of all, most families don't put the faith first. Other things come before the faith. School's important. Work's important. Sports is important. Time with families are important. Time with others is important. And all that stuff is good. I'm not saying that any of that stuff is bad. But the faith is not put as important in our families. And we see the result of that when we look over the last couple of generations. Let's say over the last 40 years or so, 50 years or so, where at one point, people would say, okay, they would take their kids to church and they would receive the sacraments, baptism, confirmation, first communion. And then the kids would go off and they'd fall away from the practice. They'd get to college and they'd rather go and party and do all that stuff than go to church, as college kids usually do. But then they would meet someone and start thinking about things like marriage, family, and they'd come back to the church to be married, and they'd come back to the church to baptize their children, and they'd come back to the church for religious education. That latter part isn't happening much anymore. That latter part is not happening in more recent generations. This is something in my 15 and a half years as a priest, I have noticed becoming a worse and worse problem. Families will bring their children for the sacraments of initiation, maybe, and then drop off the face of the earth, and their children maybe aren't even bringing their children for the sacraments of initiation. So we've got a generation now that is starting to be raised without any faith because their parents didn't get a strong foundation in the faith and their grandparents didn't give a strong foundation in the faith. We need to bring the faith to the current generation, the new generation, however you want to put it. The faith needs to be brought to them. It really is almost a new evangelization effort, a renewed evangelization effort. We need to re-evangelize those who should have been evangelized already. And first and foremost, that is done when families live the faith. Words and actions, both. They need to see us living our faith, and they need to hear us talking about our faith. Our example will show what we believe in. How we act, the prayers we do, making the faith a priority, and so on. All of this helps to encourage others to come to the faith. And one of the most difficult things I know to do is to talk to families, your family members, and encourage them to live the faith. But yet that is what they need now more than ever. What the world needs now more than ever is for us to talk about our faith, to live our faith, to encourage others in our faith, to support others in our faith. And we can do that by looking at the example of the Holy Family, how they live their faith. Through their example and intercession, may families grow in the practice, the love of the faith. And may we be united as families in that faith.